Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Hey, today we're starting a series called House to House because we're meeting together in groups from house to house today, coming together for live church. And the heart behind this series, House to House, is to talk about this topic that we are the church. How many of you know church is not just something you attend? Church is something that you are a part of. Church is not just a building that we go to. Church is actually a family that we belong to. And I want to speak this morning on this message today, and that's that we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Do you know something I've learned just recently is that the human body is a very intricately woven and incredible piece of machinery that's been put together by God. And I've actually learned that the hard way. Some of you no doubt are watching right now and saying, Andrew, I see that you've done yourself some damage. Well, actually, it's not damage at all. It's done. I want to tell you, this is my blue bionic arm that's just been installed. Actually, no, it's not at all. That's what I tell my kids. But what's happened is this, is some of you might even be thinking, you go, well, you know, did Pastor fall off his bike? No, that didn't happen. I did that a few weeks ago, but that wasn't the injury. And I want to just let you know as well, I didn't get in a fight either. But actually, what happened was about 12 months ago, playing a game of squash, I actually tore the tendon or one of the tendons that's in my wrist. And then eventually they said, okay, we're going to have to do surgery and repair that tendons and repair those ligaments. And so a couple of weeks ago, they took me in and we did the surgery. And now I'm wearing my blue cast for about the next 6 or 7 weeks. But what I learned along the way is that, yes, you know, the human body and particularly the human hand and the human wrist is a very complex and very intricate part of the human body and the way that it works. I discovered that in the human wrist alone, there's actually 8 different bones that make up the wrist, and not just 8 different bones, but there's actually this very complex web of tendons and ligaments that not only connect those bones, but help us to do all kinds of everyday movements that I know that I took for granted. And so what I've discovered is that even with one small tendon, one small ligament that's no longer working, it affects every other part of my body and actually of my day-to-day living. You see, what I tore was a tendon that's called your scapholunate. And I'd never heard of it before, and you probably haven't either. And it's a tiny little tendon, a couple of centimeters long, and it connects a couple of bones together. But right now, I'm not able to use that particular tendon. There's actually some pins that are in this particular wrist, and it's just holding these bones together while this new tendon is beginning to graft in. But here's what I've discovered. Without this one tiny little part of my body, there's many things that I cannot do. At the moment, I can't drive a car. I've discovered that in the morning, I can't butter my toast. I can't actually even do the buttons up on my shirt. And I can't even tie up my shoelaces. I don't know if you know this, but it's actually a pretty funny moment as a dad when in the morning, when you're getting up and getting ready for work, you ask your 10-year-old daughter to help you tie your shoes. But here's the point. You know, I've discovered this. There are no redundant parts in the human body. You know what? When God made the human body, there was not one dispensable member of the human body. When God put it together in all of its wonder and in all of its complexity, He made sure that every single part had its own special part to play. And listen, just as God made every part of the human body to be indispensable, so He made every part of His body, which is called the church, to have an absolutely essential part to play in His eternal plan. And I want you to know today that you have a special purpose to play in fulfilling God's plan on planet Earth. In Ephesians 4 verse 1, Paul says these words. He says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you. He says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Hear those words again. For you have been called by God. Do you know that word you is actually universal? It means you and I. It means all of us. In the kingdom of God, everyone is called. You know, Jesus in the Gospels comes to Peter one day and says, Peter, come and follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Not only was Jesus inviting Peter into relationship with him, He was also inviting Peter to discover his calling and purpose in God. For you have been called by God, Paul says. Then he says, always be humble and gentle, be patient with one another, make allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Now he begins to talk about the church. This is magnificent. He says, for there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. Do you think he's trying to say something here? You know what Paul's saying? We are all one in Christ. That God created all people equally. He loves all people equally. And he sees all people equally. Do you know God does not draw lines? God does not exclude. In fact, God calls people of every creed, of every race, of every nationality, of every tongue, and he welcomes them to be his own special children, connected in love for one another as the body of Christ. Let us remember that our God is colorblind. He does not see white, black, brown, or any other color. God does not see whether you are Caucasian, African, Indian, Polynesian, or Middle Eastern. When God looks at the mosaic of humanity, do you know what he sees? His children. God only sees sons and daughters. And as his church, I believe that we are called to be a light to a world that is hurting and broken, and to show what it really means to love one another. That we as the church, we are to be a people of love. We are to be a source of hope, and we are to be a community of faith, of second chances, of inclusion and acceptance. The church is actually a place where every person from every background can find community, can find hope, and live as one in Christ. And then Paul goes on, he says, he has given each one of us, that's the body, a special gift through the generosity of Christ. You know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, I have a calling, and you have a calling, and you and I have a gift, he's saying, and you have a gift, and those callings and those gifts have been given to us by Christ himself. He says, that is why the scripture says, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and he gave gifts to his people. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Listen to this. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. In other words, Paul's saying this, God's gift to the church are the gifts that he puts in people. And the responsibility of leaders is to equip all of God's people to use their gifts to do the work of ministry. And you might say, well, what work of ministry has God given to me? Well, here's my answer. It's whatever role, it's whatever part that God has gifted you to play. And I believe that you and I, we are supposed to go on a journey where we discover what our part is, where we discover what our role is in God's work. It's all about you and I discovering the God uniqueness that actually has been set inside of me by Christ himself, that he wants you and I to use for his eternal purpose. And then Paul goes on, he says, and when we do this, we will no longer be immature like children. He says, we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth. I love these next words. He says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. I love how Paul says that God's goal is that you and I would grow more and more to be like Jesus. And so how do we grow more and more to be like Jesus? In the next verse, Paul tells us how we do that. He says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, he helps the other's parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I love it how he says, as each part does its own special work. Did you know you have a special work set by God to do on this earth? Did you know that you were created on purpose, for a purpose, and God has given you a special assignment? And do you notice that the scripture says, as each part does it? It doesn't say as some parts do it. You know, there's been this erroneous view about church and ministry that's existed for generations, that ministry is just for a select few. That you know, the ministry and the call of God, it must be for that person and that person, but for the rest of us, it doesn't really apply. That maybe if I can sing, or maybe if I've got a preaching gift, then maybe I do ministry, but not me. Can I tell you that's completely wrong? Do you know what the word ministry actually means? The word ministry, it means to help others. It means to serve others. It means to love others. And the Bible is really clear. It says every believer, every Christian is called by God and has been given a gift by God that he wants us to use to minister and serve to others. And the Bible says, as every Christian does that, we help each other grow. The whole body is built up. It becomes healthy. It grows and it's full of love. You know, I was reading a story about a guy by the name of Oliver Cromwell. And Oliver Cromwell actually lived back in the 17th century. And he lived in England, and his title was the Lord Protector. This was his role, of the Commonwealth of England, Scotland and Ireland. Pretty fancy title. But during his time in office, there was a crisis. You see, Britain faced a shortage of currency. They ran out. And in response to this crisis, Cromwell actually sent people out to comb the land, and they were searching for silver that they could use in their currency. And one of the groups that Cromwell sent out was instructed to go and search all the cathedrals in the land in the hopes that they might find some treasure within those cathedrals. And when that group returned back to Cromwell, they told him, said, "Sir, the only silver that we can find is in the silver statues of saints that are standing in the corners of the cathedrals." And having no other option, Cromwell famously made this statement. He said, "Well then, let's melt down the saints and let's put them in circulation." And do you know that's exactly what happened? They melted down the statues and they made silver coins that went into circulation throughout the whole land, and they averted a crisis. And my point is this, isn't that exactly what God wants to do with us as well? That we would not be like statues that would stand idle in the corners of cathedrals, but God's desire is that we would be the saints in circulation, that you and I would take what is most precious and what is most valuable, and that is the call of God, and they are the gifts of God that he has put on the inside of us, and we would use them not just for our benefit, but to love others and to serve others and to help others, because there's silver in you, and God wants you and I to be the saints that are in circulation. And maybe some of you today are going, "No, no way, there's not anything precious inside my life. There's no gifts in me that I could use to help others or serve others. And I see that, you know what, that person, they might have a call and that person, they might have a gift, but I don't think I've got anything to give." Can I tell you, one of the greatest parts of our journey with Jesus is we need to know that God made every part of his body, which is the church, which is you and I, and we have an absolutely essential and vital part to play in his eternal plan. And Paul is saying here, as each part discovers that and contributes, as every person begins to fulfill their own special purpose, then what Paul is saying is then the church rises and grows and it's able to fill the fullness of its potential. And let me say it this way, our church can only fulfill its highest and its greatest potential when every person contributes, when every person picks up their God-given purpose and begins to live it out in their life. You see, we're not the best that we can be without you being who God has called you to be. In Romans 12, verse 4, Paul is speaking again about the body of Christ. And he says this, "Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part," hear it again, "has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other." In other words, Paul is saying that as Christians, we're not to live as individuals who just exist for ourselves. In fact, in Romans 12, verse 1, if you read it, he says, do not be conformed anymore to the pattern of this world, but be renewed in your mind. And why Paul was saying that, he's saying there's a pattern in this world that teaches us that we are individuals and we can just live our life our own way and do our own thing. But Paul said, you know what? As believers in the kingdom of God, we need to renew our mind, that we are not to just exist for ourselves. But he says that we are many parts now of one body and we belong to each other. Church, can I say that is who we are and that is how we're to live. And listen, we are many parts, but we are one body. And I might be the foot and you might be the hand, and that person over there, they might be the scapholunate ligament. But I want to tell you, we are all vital parts of Christ's body, and we are all there to contribute to the health and the growth of the church. And then Paul says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak it out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, he says, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If God has given you a leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. You know what really Paul's saying here? He's just beginning to list off this incredible diversity of gifts. And it's not a definitive list of the gifts. Paul is just talking about some of the many gifts that God gives us. You know what? There are gifts of hospitality. There are gifts of mercy. There are gifts of ministering to kids and to young people. There's gifts of the creativity and arts. There's gifts of music and worship. There's gifts of administration. There's gifts of media and production. There are many, many gifts that we will see that exist all throughout the Bible, but they also exist in the hearts and souls of the many different people all over the church. And then Paul says, not only is there this great diversity of gifts, but he says, I want you to take the stewardship of those gifts as something important and serious in your life. I want you to steward your gifts well. And really what it means to steward your gifts well is that we use them for the purposes of God. And you know what? Here's what I've discovered. We don't have to feel like or wait until all of our ducks in a row, until we begin to serve God. See, here's the qualification I believe that it takes to be someone who uses their gifts and serve God. If you're on a committed journey of following Jesus, then that's pretty much the qualification you need to begin to use your gifts and begin to unlock the eternal purpose of God in your life. You see, God is not looking for perfection. God is only looking for obedience. I love the story of the prophet Isaiah in the Bible. This is in Isaiah. It says this. This is Isaiah speaking. He says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. God didn't choose Isaiah based on his ability. God chose Isaiah based on his availability. You might not think you not have much ability, but can I tell you, your ability in the hands of God is more than enough. You know, I discovered this when I was 18 years old. I came to church and I gave my life to Christ. And I reckon I'd been in church for around about 8 weeks when after one of the services, someone came up to me and said, hey, Andrew, how would you like to join the C3 kids team? And I was straight away, I just said, yeah, I'd love to. And, you know, I remember walking away that day to my car thinking, you know, wow, they must have seen some pretty incredible potential in my life to ask me. Actually, later on, I thought about it. It was probably more like that what they thought was, here's a guy who's new enough and naive enough to probably say yes. And that's what I did. I said yes. And I began on Sunday mornings to help out in the kids program. I began to help them set the rooms up in the morning. And I began to help out with the kids. And I began to start to be part of a team there. And here's what I discovered in that time. I would go to church on Sunday morning and I'd help out and then I'd finish my kids' church and I'd most of the time during winter anyway, I'd go into my car and I'd race off because I'd play rugby on a Sunday afternoon. I had my rugby gear in the car. I'd play a game of rugby Sunday afternoon and then I'd race back so I could be back here for the 6 p.m. service. But can I tell you, I loved every minute of it because it was in kids that I found purpose. It was there I discovered that I could help these young kids, that I could encourage them, that I could be like an older brother to them. And it was actually there that I found for the first time such a deep and a real sense of fulfillment. And the fulfillment came and that I was unlocking this thing called purpose in my life. And I'd never found that anywhere else. And I discovered that there were these gifts on the inside of me that I didn't even know that I had. And those gifts had just been laying dormant in me. In fact, I loved what I was doing so much that I ended up changing my uni degree to study teaching and ended up spending the next 15 years of my life pretty much working full time with kids and with young people. But I know today that I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if I didn't say yes back then. And what may have looked like something small or even insignificant actually turned out to be one of the most important moments in my life because I found fulfillment. And I found this thing called the calling of God. And I found purpose as I began to connect those gifts that I had to God's plan in the church. And I want to remind you again that God has created you on purpose, for a purpose, and He has a special work for you to do. And I believe that the greatest thing that you and I can do with our life is to find out what that is and devote ourselves to it. You know, I mentioned before, I used to play a bit of rugby, and you know, one of the most common injuries that you can have when you play rugby is something called a cork thigh. I don't know if you ever had a cork thigh when you played sport or something else before, but it can be a pretty painful injury. And most of the time when you get a cork thigh, it's a bruised thigh. And it's in a rugby sense, it's usually an accidental knee. That somewhere along the way that you've copped, someone's just running past and they hit you on the leg. And what else ends up happening when you have a cork thigh, you find you can't use your leg properly. And sometimes that can go on for a few hours, or if it's a very deep bruise, you can't use it properly for even a few weeks afterwards. And let me say this, I've met a few Christians in my time that remind me of cork thighs, that they were once moving, functioning parts of the body, serving God, using their gifts, embracing the call of God. But somewhere along the way, they copped a knock. Maybe they got bruised or maybe they got hurt and they stopped serving God. And listen, if that's you today, can I encourage you? In the book of Romans, it says, for God's gift and His call are irrevocable. That means that even for a time, if you've stopped serving God, Scripture says you're still called by God and His gifts are still inside you. And can I encourage you? You can pick up your purpose again and you can step back into your calling. And church, I want to close with this final thought. You know, in a few weeks' time from now, we're going to be meeting in person again and we're going to need every single hand on deck, no doubt about it. But this is not a message today about filling some rosters. This is a message about fulfilling our potential as a church. And we have a vision to reach our city for Jesus. We have a vision to reach our community for Jesus, to reach our neighbors for Jesus, to reach our family and friends for Jesus, to reach our universities and our schools for Jesus. We need to plant new locations in every part of Brisbane and far beyond that. And we need to bring online church to thousands of people. And we've got much work to do. But can I say, if we're serious about that, it's going to take all of us. Where I can do what I can do, and you do what you can do. And let me say this, church, together, we are the hope of the world. Together, we are the body of Christ. And Jesus wants to use His church, I believe right now, more than ever before, as a community of people committed to seeing hearts changed, to seeing souls healed, to seeing communities redeemed, and that we would go with that purpose to make an eternal difference in the lives of others. And wherever you're watching this service today, can I remind you today that you have a special part to play in God's eternal plan? And when you and I discover that part, I tell you what, there is a fulfillment and there is a sense in our life of being aligned with the purpose of God like nothing else.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.